You're listening to the Evil Orphan Murder Trial of Dima Tower from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
I've reviewed them.
You recognize these photos, Doctor, as the photographs that were taken at the time you autopsied the body of Robbie Tower?
They are, yes.
Are they a true and accurate depiction of the procedure of the autopsy that you conducted?
They are.
Runner, I'm offering State's Exhibit 34A, 34B, 34C, 34D, 34E, F, G, 34 double G, 34 H, 34 I, 34 J, and 34 K. Into evidence, please.
Any objection to 34 A through K and double G?
No objection, Your Honor.
All right, they'll be admitted. You may publish them at your leisure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is it routine practice, Doctor, to take photographs during the course of the autopsy?
It is.
Why?
Photographs are the best form of documentation that we have, especially for external findings on the body. I can make notes, I can make verbal descriptions of findings, but nothing conveys the nature of many findings, especially injuries on the body, like a photograph does.
Let's look first at State's Exhibit 34A. And we're going to talk about some of the markings that you have as part of the autopsy procedure, specifically the letters that we find on Mr. Tower's body.
Yes.
So we're going to go first, even though this is not in chronological or numerical order on your autopsy report, but we're going to go first to the stab wounds on Robbie Tower's face, please.
Yes.
And by the way, were you able to document how many stab wounds were inflicted on Mr. Tower?
I was, although the determination is, it may not be exactly what somebody else would have determined with the same findings, because there's such a variation in terms of how deep or how severe or superficial the injuries are, that some of them I didn't classify necessarily as a counted stab wound or cut wound, but I did note the other injuries in my report. So in total, for Mr. Tower, I counted 68 stab or cutting type wounds, with more that were small or superficial or subtle wounds that were probably sustained in the same way, but not totally characteristic stab or cut wounds.
But at least 68 distinctive stab wounds that you could identify as such.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So let's look now at State's Exhibit 34A, and I'd like to talk about the wounds that you cataloged on the face of Mr. Tower. So let's talk about those, if you would, please.
Certainly.
So we can start anywhere you like, Doctor, if you want to start on the upper right cheek, or upper left cheek, pardon me.
Certainly. So the injuries that we see on the face here are this largest wound, which was labeled with the letter H, the much smaller and very superficial wound labeled T here, and then the wound on the chin labeled I. And I think it's maybe important to notice that, or to note that when I was assigning these letters, to some extent, it was largely a random application. I did it based on the letters I had at the time and what I was examining at the time, and it doesn't have any correlation to timing or anything else with the injuries.
I understand.
Thank you. So of these, H is the most visible on the skin, obviously. I believe, is two separate wounds which are just joined. In other words, they were very close together and seemed to form one single wound. Of these wounds, none of them cause any major injury. The injuries really just involve soft tissue only.
And in addition to these that we can see in 34A, I want to move to 34B. And take a look at the wound that you called S, which was also included as a stab wound to the face.
Yes.
Can you please tell us a little bit about this wound?
This wound is a wound which involves the back edge of the ear. So this is the left ear. So the in this photo, the nose would have been oriented here, and the back of the head here, the neck over here. And this wound essentially cut through all of the tissue over the back edge of the ear, essentially at the same level as the ear canal here.
Okay. Let's look at 34C, please. Now we're going to move on to your recitation of the stab wounds of the back. And the back of the neck, I should say. So let's look at this photograph, 34C. And there's quite an extensive amount of lacerations here. So would you please just start wherever you like and talk about them?
So all of these injuries are relatively similar, meaning that are all injuries that are inflicted with a sharp instrument like a knife. There are some which are longer on the skin than others, or that are wider. I would not take that to mean that they were inflicted with a different instrument. They might all have been inflicted with the same instrument. It depends on what's done with that knife once it's in the skin. It's very easy to flex a little bit along the skin with the blade and cause the stab wound to be longer on the skin. And also the tension on the skin is what determines how wide the injury appears here. So even though these injuries on the back of the neck and the upper back have varying appearances, they all were potentially really sustained in the same way with a stab with a knife. Of these injuries, the vast majority of all of these, that includes the clusters of injuries on the back of the neck the very upper back here and lower in the back, that for the most part, these injuries involved only soft tissue and did not penetrate to any deeper major blood vessels or organs.
So would a person have been able to survive if they had only sustained these injuries and even the ones on the face?
Potentially, yes. Long-term complications, of course, could ensue, but in the short term, yes.
I understand. Okay. So I would also like to go to 34D because that's hard to see in this photograph. And there's a stab.
This here? This is.
No. Oh. I'm sorry. My 34D.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm sorry, doctor. Photograph 34D because there's a stab wound on the neck. And. Which I'd like you to talk about, and I wasn't able to find a photograph that included that on the larger 34C. So can you tell us a little bit about N?
Yes, although it will help if I refer to my records here. And
refresh your recollection, yes.
Yeah, and
it appears to be a cluster of a number of wounds that you just catalog is
M. Yes. So this cluster is involving the left side of the neck. What I describe in my report is it's posterolateral, meaning it's the side of the neck and toward the back. So the back left side of the neck. And there are several stab wounds that you see here. I counted this as five, but some of the stab wounds I think that you can see on the edges of this photo were included in another grouping.
Let's go now to, I'm going to backtrack a little bit and go to a wound on the scalp. We're going to look at State's Exhibit 34E. And that's going to be the first one that you talked about in the report.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this.
For orientation, this is the top of the scalp. So this is the very edge of the left ear that you're seeing here. The right ear would be more or less over here in this photograph if it were extended. And this is a short stab wound, essentially right to the top of the head. It is. Of all the injuries that we've discussed so far, none of them, with the possible exception of one, really caused any significant deeper injury. It was all soft tissue injury.
Okay. Let's move next to State's Exhibit 34F. And now we're going to talk about the left side of the neck.
Yes.
And the injuries that were inflicted to Mr. Tower. It looks like there's a lot of clusters there. Can you just go through that for the members of the jury, please?
Yes. And I would point out that we've already looked at in closer detail at this cluster here and at the injury to the left ear here. What we really haven't seen before is this cluster over the left upper neck and cheek area, that's labeled J, and then these other clusters which are at the base of the neck and over the top of the shoulder region here that are M, L, R, K, and G.
Now I'm going to I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, and I'm going to go to the larynx because that's how you discussed it in your report. So let's look now at State's 34G. And first of all, will you tell the members of the jury, might be oversimplifying, you probably know this already, but where is the larynx located?
So the larynx is the medical word for the voice box. The front part of the larynx is what you feel in your neck is the Adam's apple. What we see in this photograph is the larynx removed from the neck. And for orientation, this is the base of the tongue here. So this is the front of the specimen. This is the back of the specimen. This is the larynx structure itself, and the larynx has a cartilaginous backing to it that can be pretty hard. I opened that so that I could look at the internal surface of the larynx. This is the epiglottis, and that's the flap which closes over your airway when you're swallowing or eating. This is your vocal cord here and here. This structure is called the false vocal fold. It looks like a vocal cord, but it's not. The rest of what we see is injury. There's some bruising here and a cut here in this tissue to the side of the larynx. And then there are large cuts here, here, there, and here. There's also one there that you can see a little bit of bruising from on the other side here, which these cuts go through the full thickness of the tissue. And these were cuts which were the endpoints of stab wounds which originated on the neck. Some of those we've seen, those were the stab wounds of the left side of the neck, mostly in that J cluster. And then on the right side, probably at least one was from some wounds on the right side of the neck that we have not looked at yet.
How many separate perforations were you able to see in this in Mr. Tower's larynx?
I found six.
Now, I also see some, what is that white? Is that used as a trajectory rod? Is that white thin object that we see?
This is really, it's just a small wooden stick that I improvised to use to hold this open because there's a lot of tension here. And if I don't have something holding it open, it'll close and you won't be able to see the structures here as well. So I just used this essentially to prop it open so I could photograph the findings.
And those other instruments are also to keep it open?
Yes, these are what we call forceps. They're like tweezers.
Let's look at another picture of the larynx, please. Maybe might be helpful. This is 34GG. And can you just orient us? Is there anything on this photograph that helps the jury to see those six separate perforations of the larynx?
Well, the perforations here to the side, I think you can get a better feel for the extent of this. This is I'm encircling the opening here on the left side of the larynx. You can see that one perhaps a little more clearly too, and then you can better appreciate the bruising you see in the tissue adjacent to that here in the soft tissue or mucosa which forms the wall of the larynx on both the left side and the right side here too to some extent.
What happens to somebody's larynx or voice box when they sustain this kind of injury?
It would certainly impede your ability to vocalize or speak. Because the larynx isn't transected, it's hard to know exactly what that effect would be. It's possible that one still could have been able to vocalize or speak some. But it's also possible that that might have been greatly impaired.
Thank you. I'd like to go to State's Exhibit 34H now, and we're going to look at some more injuries to Mr. Tower's face and his head. So can you please tell us about T?
Yes, T is a single stab wound. I want to make sure that I separate that out for you.
That's found under your...
Yes.
Yeah, on page.
So T does, even though it's not particularly long, it does potentially go deep to the level of where the carotid artery was. And I, unfortunately, because there's a lot of injuries which are coalescent under the skin, it didn't allow me necessarily to be able to correlate a single individual internal injury with the stab wound on the outside that caused it, because they commingled as they as the stab wounds went into the tissue. But it's possible that T caused an injury to the carotid artery, which is deep there.
So are you telling us that you don't know if T was the entrance point to injure the carotid artery, or that you're not sure if the carotid artery was actually injured?
The carotid artery was injured. I just wasn't sure which stab wound caused it.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then let's look at O, that's on Mr. Tower's temple, or above his ear.
Yes. So O is not a deep injury, and normally I wouldn't necessarily have categorized that as one of the injuries that I would count and put a separate letter to. But in this case, I chose to do that to accentuate this particular finding. This is a scrape on the skin, what we call an abrasion. And the reason that I included this is it's a patterned abrasion. The pattern consists of multiple parallel lines that are perpendicular to this single line here and extending downward from that. You see three or four of them there pretty clearly. I believe this is the same thing here, but they're blending together in this broader area of scraping here. This injury was probably sustained as a single impact or brush with a knife or possibly some other implement. Maybe this was from two impacts, one causing this and the other causing this with the scraping, almost looking like the teeth of a comb there.
All right, thank you. I know that there were numerous stab wounds to Mr. Tower's right and left shoulders, but I want to move on to stab wounds of the chest, please. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to 34A so that we can look at those again. So we use this photograph, 34A, to talk about the wounds on Mr. Tower's face. Now I'd like to see if we can't focus on his chest, of which there are four wounds. So let's talk about those four perforations, please.
Certainly. The four I think you're referring to are the labeled injuries of F, C, B, and A. There are a few smaller superficial injuries that are really scratches, essentially, appear up at the top left of his chest and then down here on the upper part of the right side of his abdomen. Those are the kind of injuries I was talking about before that I didn't necessarily number, but were additional injuries that he had sustained. With regard to the four numbered ones, though, A is the largest of these and perhaps thus draws your attention most immediately. These are all shorter on the skin. All of these penetrated some distance into the soft tissue. None of these injuries really caused, or these stab wounds caused any deeper injury, only soft tissue injury, with the possible exception of B, which probably nicked the internal mammary artery. It's a small artery which runs inside, well, on the underside of the sternum. And based on the way that the dissection is done, I thought that B had nicked that artery, but it was just hard to tell. It would have been a small injury over time, it could have caused some significant bleeding, but not one that I would have expected to immediately cause death.
So again, with these four, if medical assistance had been forthcoming, they would not have been fatal.
That's correct.
I'd also like to look at stab wounds at the back. Can you have those cataloged on page 9 of your report? And again, I'm going to revisit one of my exhibits, states 34C. Let's talk about those wounds to Mr. Tower's back, please, his upper back.
Yes, so the injuries to his back, especially if you mean by upper back, all these that you can see in the letters.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Again, these are injuries which are of different sizes and shapes, but all, in my opinion, sustained in the same way with a stab wound by an instrument like a knife. Of these, I have small clusters such as DD, and then I have individual injuries like FF, BB, EE, and GG, and a small cluster here of HH. Of all of these injuries, there was only one which was in the cluster of DD, which caused more than just soft tissue injury. And one of those in DD appears to have caused a small injury in the spinal cord by passing deep enough to go past the spine, the bones around the spinal cord, and to nick the spinal cord there.
And then I'm going to go to 34I. To continue with the injuries to the back. So this encompasses the injuries that we just saw and a few more that are down on Mr. Tower's left side, and sort of his shoulder there, on his left shoulder, and also on his left arm.
Yes.
So can you just briefly go through those?
Yes. So this is an injury to the back of his left shoulder, an injury to his lower left chest on the side, and an injury to his left forearm. Of these, this is, again, the most visually noticeable of the injuries, and I would call this more of a slashing kind of injury. It was not extremely deep, but does have a broad length on the skin. This involved only soft tissue without any other major injury, as did this injury I. The stab wound K went a little more deeply and did have a little penetration into the lung cavity, which is right below there, and it put a small stab wound into the lower lobe of the left lung. It was a small penetration, and there was very little bleeding, and there was really no collapse of the left lung on that side. So I think over time, that could have been a potentially serious injury, but I believe that Mr. Tower died before it had a chance to get to manifest it being more serious, and that it really didn't... it didn't cause him any particular impairment during the time of his life following the first infliction of injuries till the time he passed.
Now, there are also numerous injuries on the upper and lower, especially the upper extremities, the arms, left and right arms, and also some to the legs, both the right and left leg. But I want to talk to you about defensive wounds, if any. Did you see any sign of defensive wounds?
He did have injuries to his hands, which can be considered or might be described by some people as defensive wounds.
Okay, so let's look at those photographs, which are... And I have another one that's just a little, a close-up of 34J, 34K. When you look at those, can you tell if those are defensive wounds?
What I can tell you is that this particular injury is consistent with a knife blade coming across the finger like this. And it's characteristic of the kind of injury one would sustain while trying to grab a knife.
Now, you told us that based upon your count, it appeared that Mr. Tower sustained approximately 68, give or take, 68 wounds. Can you tell us what was the specific cause of Mr. Tower's death?
Yes. Despite the vast number or the high number of those stab wounds, the stab wounds that really were significant were the ones in the neck that ended up injuring a couple of different large vessels. The carotid artery we've already talked about was one. Another artery was the subclavian artery, which is the artery that goes from the aorta over to the shoulders, goes through the base of the neck. Of course, there were many other smaller vessels which were cut as a result of all of these stabs. It was the bleeding from all of those injuries, especially the carotid and subclavian arteries, but all of those injuries which were his cause of death.
And do you have an opinion as to the manner of Mr. Tower's death?
Yes.
Can you tell us what that opinion is, please?
In my opinion, the manner of death was and remains homicide.
Why move on now to Jennifer Tower's case? Vega, I'm showing you what have been marked for identification as States Exhibit 33A through 33Q. Look at those for me, please. Thank you. Do you recognize these photographs as having been taken during the autopsy of Jennifer Tower?
I do.
Are they a true and accurate depiction of Jennifer Tower at the time of her autopsy in September of 2023?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering State's Exhibit 33A through 33Q into evidence.
No objection.
33A through Q will be admitted. You may publish them at your leisure.
As to Jennifer Tower, Dr. Vega, were you able to count the number of penetrating stab wounds and superficial wounds that were inflicted?
Yes.
How many?
As with Mr. Tower, there were some small injuries that I did not include in that count, but the injuries that I did categorize that way totaled 79.
Place, I would like to look, are the stab wounds to Ms. Tower's face? And we're going to be reviewing State's Exhibit 33A. And if you would just start wherever you like, Doctor, and just describe for the members of the jury what your findings were.
Well, as you described, this is a photograph of the left side of Ms. Tower's face. And here we have fairly distinct single marked stab wounds A, B, C, and D. And then there's a large cluster here designated as E, which you can see some but not all of. And then there's this cluster at the very upper part of the left side of the chest. Perhaps you might say the top of the shoulder designated as F, but focusing maybe on these four, A, B, C, and D, these were injuries which, like the other injuries that we've seen in Mr. Tower, are different sizes and shapes, different amounts of gaping, but basically all consistent with stabbing by the same or similar knives. All of these injuries involved the soft tissues, and no real major vascular or vital organ injuries. So, like, very similar actually to Mr. Tower, the facial injuries largely superficial.
Okay, let's go to 33B, please. And now we're looking at the right side of Jennifer Tower's face and neck. Can you describe this group of, this cluster of stab wounds, please?
Yes. This cluster of stab wounds we see here is remarkable for a couple of things. And maybe one thing that I didn't point out as much in the other cluster as well is that those stab wounds, not A, B, C, and D, but the E ones, you know what, we didn't really talk about this, so I'll save that for later. I apologize.
Well, I won't remember it later.
I will. So in W, what we see here is that they're all essentially parallel to each other. They're all horizontal to the ground. It's not a very tight cluster, but the fact that all of these are roughly parallel to one another suggests that these were all inflicted on or at about the same time with the position of the assailant and Ms. Tower here not changed. And to me, that suggests that she was already incapacitated at the time that these injuries were sustained. Of these, and I'm going to have to refer to my notes here, these involved a lot of soft tissue underlying, One of these perforated superficially into the right side of the larynx. One caused injury to the internal jugular vein, and one caused a transection or a complete cutting of the carotid artery near the skull base. Like previously, I can't tell you which of these injuries specifically here caused which internal injury, because once you get past the skin, they commingled too much and I was unable to separate the tracks.
Perforations of the carotid artery and the jugular vein are lethal, may not be, are they lethal?
Would be expected to be lethal, yes.
And then how many specific stab wounds do we find in this grouping?
I describe this as 14 separate wounds. There are a couple, like this looks like it might be one long wound, but I counted this as two separate wounds. It appeared to have two separate tracks, at least for a brief time under the skin.
And you said that the assailant and Ms. Tower, the victim, were essentially in the same position for all of these stabbing?
That's what the clustering suggests, yes.
Thank you. Let's go now to State Exhibit 33C. And now we're looking at the left side of Ms. Tower's face, her upper cheek. And let's talk about these injuries, please.
So this is almost a mirror image of what we saw in the last photo, the left side of the face. So here's the left ear. And of these injuries, you can see D and a little bit of B here that we already described. This cluster, very much like W, has many injuries which are all at essentially the same orientation. They're all relatively parallel to one another. And this clustering suggests that the injuries were all sustained at or about the same point in time where the assailant and Ms. Tower were not moving relative to one another. Again, likely that she was already incapacitated at this time. These injuries also became commingled underneath the skin, so I was unable to specifically separate out the wound tracks of them as they went deeper, but at least one of them injured the left internal jugular vein. So we saw an injury to the right internal jugular vein from the other side, and this cluster of injuries caused at least one injury to the left internal jugular vein.
What is the function of the jugular vein?
The jugular vein brings all of the blood from the brain and much of the face and the other tissues of the head and neck down to go back to the superior vena cava and back to the heart.
What is the function of the carotid artery?
The carotid arteries on each side are the main arteries which supply blood to the brain. They also supply blood to the eyes and the facial muscles and essentially all the structures and tissues in the head.
Let's look now at States 33D, and this is going to be another cluster of wounds. They are delineated as X.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that grouping?
Yes, I have a small grouping of injuries labeled X. There are other injuries, Y, A, Z, perhaps we'll see in other photos. But these injuries are to the back left side of the neck. So this is that cluster that we just looked at in E. And these injuries involve soft tissue, but no major vascular or vital structure injury.
Talk about this. Would you describe that as a cluster, or are they too far apart to be a cluster?
I think a cluster is a reasonable description for how I chose to document and photograph these injuries. They have similarity to the other ones that we've seen, the other clusters, in that the injuries are relatively parallel. They're not quite as tightly clustered, and there is a little variation in the angle, but I suspect that these injuries were also sustained in a similar way after Ms. Tower was essentially incapacitated.
And just to remind the jury, when you first arrived at the death scene, describe how the victims were lying. Were they prone or supine?
They were both prone, meaning they were lying face down.
So Ms. Towers would have been in this position, and so would Mr. Towers. Mr. and Mrs. Towers would have been in this position face down when these wounds were inflicted. If what you say, well, I know you can't opine about that, but...
Objection, counsel testifying.
Sustained.
Would these wounds have been inflicted after Ms. Towers was incapacitated?
I believe so, yes.
Now I want to talk about the stab wounds to Jennifer Towers' chest. I'm going to move on to State's Exhibit 33F. And this is a close-up, doctor, so if you can just tell us about O&P and the injuries and the damage to Ms. Towers' body.
Give me just a moment, please.
Going over to 6,
page 5 or 6. Yes. Okay. This is this particular photograph doesn't have landmarks to guide the location. So I wanted to make sure I was looking at the right part in my report.
And this was for a matter of decency, so
I understand. So these two are on the left lateral side of the chest. So the area of the chest is lateral and upper. So in this region here, what we might call the upper flank. As you can see, they're relatively close together, but not overlapping, and have a similar orientation, but unlike the other injuries that we saw that were like that, there's only two of them. It's not a larger number, so I don't think I would designate this as a cluster. But there are two separate stab wounds there that have similar paths. They both involve soft tissue, and the wound O here just goes deep enough to penetrate into the left lung cavity. But that's all. It didn't go any deeper, so it didn't even injure the left lung at all.
Right. Now I'd like to move on to stab wounds of Jennifer Towers' back. We're going to be looking at State's Exhibit 33G. What's significant about this photograph and the injuries that are depicted, Doctor?
So for reference, we've already talked about these wounds up here in the neck, clusters E and X. I mentioned Z briefly, but we didn't describe it any further. And then we have what I grouped as E and C and B. Of these injuries, I think you'll notice right off that they don't have that same clustering effect of being closer together and parallel in the same orientation. So I can't really make any opinion as to how or what order or what the relative condition Ms. Tower would have been in at the time that these injuries were sustained. Of all of them, BBCC and EE, all of them involve only soft tissue and no significant deeper injuries.
You also found during the autopsy stab wounds of Jennifer Tower's right shoulder, and those are depicted on State's Exhibit 33H. Can you address these injuries, please?
Yes, and this particular photograph really highlights injury Q here. There's an injury R here, which you see most of, but not all of here, that's at a different orientation, but close by to Q. These are essentially similar to O and P that we saw before. Two wounds that are relatively close by, but don't have the same orientation. Of these, neither one of them causes any particular underlying injury, just soft tissue injury.
Let's move on to Ms. Tower's right arms, right arm, and we're going to look at State's Exhibit 33I. Can you talk about these two injuries that you've labeled M?
Yes. So M has, actually, I'm going to take a moment to review what I have written here. I want to make sure I get this correct. Yes. Okay. So in this particular photo, we see two injuries, one of which has its letter covered. This is a superficial injury. It does not involve anything but the subcutaneous fat. M is a deep injury which traverses the skin and goes through the muscle and actually exits the arm on the other side. And that injury is separately designated as a letter in my photographs and documentation, but you can't see that injury in this particular photo. It's on the other side. Part of what's bridging these here is a superficial scratch. This really has nothing to do with the internal track that of the blade as it injured the soft tissues between the entry here and as it stuck out the skin on the other side. Which you don't see, and I have designated as S. Yeah.
Right, we'll look at that in a moment.
Yeah.
All right, so again, we're looking at M. S, unfortunately, is hard to see, although there is a tab, there a sticker on the far side, but your trajectory graph goes from M through into S.
Yes, and you can see the other end of the rod here, and We use these trajectory rods simply to demonstrate when an injury does pass all the way through the body and when it does so clearly, so that these are inserted when the path through the tissue is already clear, just to demonstrate that for photography purposes.
So based upon what we're seeing, Doctor, did the cutting instrument or knife or whatever was used, did that go from M all the way through, is it a through and through stab?
It is.
What about K, wound K?
K is longer on the skin than it is deep, so it might be best classified as a cut or a slash, and thus is relatively superficial, did not cause any major underlying injury. And I believe the same is true for this injury here, which is J, which we can just barely see at the edge of the photo there.
Let's move on now to 33L. And there's J.
Yes.
Again.
J.
We're looking at it through and through.
We are, and it's very superficial, this one. The other one, you can see S here now without the trajectory rod through it. That's M was over here, and the trajectory rod passed through here to S. Here we see a very superficial wound that was just long and deep enough to have a small exit over here on the edge, if you will, of the wrist area, as opposed to the middle of the forearm here.
These two injuries that we looked at, M into S and then J, are you able to say whether those are defensive wounds because they're on the victim's arm?
I think they're consistent with using the arms for self-defense during a knife assault. Some might characterize that then as being a defensive wound.
Now we're going to look at Ms. Tower's right hand. And what do we see here?
So this is the palm of her right hand. And this photograph was taken as the body was received by us, so before any cleaning was done. But even so, you can see the clear stab wound on the thumb side of the palm here next to the base of the thumb.
Okay, and moving to the next photograph. They're related, so we see at the base of the thumb, and then we see at the base of the thumb on the opposite side of the hand. So what's going on with these two?
Yes, so this is an entrance and exit pair we identified previously. The stab wound essentially passes through the soft tissue of the side of the hand at the base of the thumb and injured the underlying tissues, but no bone or anything more major than that.
Left arm. This is exhibit 33O. And we're looking at, is this a superficial wound, Doctor?
It is. It passes, this cut wound goes just a little bit deeper than the subcutaneous fat there, but does not involve any deeper structures and certainly no major vessels or vital organs.
33P.
P shows us two injuries. H, which is a slashing type or deep cutting injury that again involves only the subcutaneous fat. And I is a penetrating injury that involves the skin and soft tissues, but does not go particularly deep and does not cause any additional major injury.
And is this Mrs. Tower's left leg? Back of the left leg?
Correct.
Now I want to talk about Jennifer Tower's larynx. It appears that you removed both larynx from both from each victim. So what did you find that was distinctive about Jennifer Tower's larynx?
She did have a single stab perforation of the larynx here, but there were no deeper injuries. There were no stabs throughout the area through which the air actually passes. So the structures here were all intact. That's why the only photo I took here, I did not include that propping stick so that you could open up and see what was internal. There were no findings that were significant in here, just this one superficial perforation into the larynx. And I think it's worth noting that this is the inner surface of the upper portion of the larynx here. So the stab wound came from the outside through this in, but didn't go any deeper.
Doctor, after performing the autopsy on Jennifer Towers, were you able to form an opinion as to the cause of Jennifer Towers' death?
I was, yes.
What is and was your opinion?
Similar to Mr. Tower, I determined her cause of death to be perforations of multiple small and large blood vessels, including the carotid artery and jugular vein, due to multiple stab wounds.
And do you have an opinion as to the manner of Jennifer Tower's death?
Yes.
What is your opinion, Doctor?
My opinion was and remains that the manner of death is homicide.
Thank you. May I have a moment to confirm?
You may.
More of the Evil Orphan murder trial of DeMatteller is coming up. Fresh, subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.